Turn, if you would, in your Bibles, as we have for our scripture reading, the passage found in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. The title of this morning's message, The Seven Mysteries of the Kingdom of Heaven and This Present Age. It was last May 2013 that we took a pause from our Life of Christ study. We looked at several things. We focused first, it was Mother's Day, and we looked at motherhood and spent a few weeks there. Then we focused our attention on the fathers. Father Day approaching, we discussed fatherhood. And then we didn't leave you children out. We talked to the kids and talked about God's instructions for the children. So we talked about the family. We also, the Lord led us into a brief study on some passages found in Proverbs regarding the home. And out of that sprung a number of weeks, a series of messages concerning fornication, spiritual fornication, several weeks upon that, our text primarily being in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and then recently even physical fornication, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so now we make our way back to our Life of Christ study. So this morning again, the title, The Seven Mysteries of the Kingdom of Heaven and This Present Age. Reading in verse 1 of Matthew 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3, Matthew 13. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Verse 23. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Verse 28, he said to them, "An enemy hath done this." The servant said unto him, "Will thou then that we go and gather them up?" But he said, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The world, or the field, is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world," or this age. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity," or lawlessness, "and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field," or in a field, "the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus saith unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then said he unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for these words. I'm thankful, Father, for the precious words of life. I'm thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. We're thankful, Father, for the way that He has sown seed in our hearts and lives. Thank you for Christians here today, Lord, who have been born again, not by any works of their own, not by any merit of their own, but solely and only by the grace of God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone, through His death, burial, and resurrection. And it's as one receives the Lord Jesus, believing on Him, that's where life is. That's where eternal life is given, the gift of eternal life. We're thankful, Father, for this. We're thankful for our great salvation we have in Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, that You have a purpose for us. You've changed our life. We belong to You. And, Lord, we want to be faithful servants of You. We want to honor You, Father. We want to do that which is well-pleasing in Your sight as You enable us. I thank You for those who are here this morning. I pray Your blessing upon them and each family represented. We do pray, Father, for those who are on beds of affliction. We do think of Mr. Reynolds. Be with him, encourage his heart this day, restore him. We think of the Andersons as well, Lord, with their several physical problems that they're enduring, Lord. We pray, Father, spiritually for them as well, that You would encourage their hearts. Lord, we think of the Thims, hearing from them recently, Lord. We pray that You do the same in their lives. And Lord, all that may be suffering affliction, Lord, physically as well as maybe some financially and emotionally or in other ways, certainly spiritually as well. Lord, You know the needs of Your people, and we pray, Father, that You would meet those needs as You see fit according to Your will. We thank you, Father, for the privilege it is to pray one for another, the privilege it is for time in prayer for the flock, Lord. We pray that you would continue to keep us as a local testimony and conform us corporately more to the image of Christ as you do individually in our hearts and lives. Lord, we pray not only for our own here in Orlando, we pray for others across the world, the remnant, other fundamentalists, Lord, who are serving you faithfully, Lord. We pray you would encourage them. We think of Pastor Hatcher and the saints there in Mount Pleasant. We think, Father, of Pastor Joel and the saints in Avoca, Lord. We pray for others as well. We think of our missionary friends and families, Lord. We think of Mark. We are thankful, Lord, for the safe trip that Suzanne Burns had and the ministry there. We pray that you continue to enable the fruit that was sown, Lord, to again be brought forth abundantly in the lives of the young people as you see fit. Lord, we also want to thank you for the memorial service recently of Mark's father and the way the word of God went forth there. We continue to pray for those in Haiti that have not been born again, whether they be children or adults, Lord. You know the needs there physically as well. We pray you meet them. We think of the group planning to go in March, Lord, that you be with them and make the crooked places straight there. We pray for the Flex, Lord, as well. It's good to hear from them in their newsletter. We think of Brad as he recently lost his father. Pray that you would encourage his heart. You are the God of all comfort, Lord, and you are able to meet the needs and even the emotional needs of your people, of all people. And so, Lord, use that as you would see fit. Just bless the people there in the Marshall Islands, the saints there. Encourage the Flex. Be with their boys and their respective situations and circumstances in their lives, Lord. We think of Pastor Cox in Mexico City and Thule and Russ, Lord. We pray for the work there. We pray your will be done in each part, each heart. Thank you for Kelsey and her time with us, Lord. She's going to school now. We do think not only of Kelsey as she's in her first year of college, Lord. We think of Caitlin. We think of Valerie and Judy, Lord. We pray for these young ladies. We pray that you'd keep them. You know their hearts and you know where they're at. Help them to be a faithful witness for you. Protect them from this world. We pray, Father, that request for all of our young people, Lord, that you protect them from this world. We think of our seniors. We think of Ronnie and Christina. We pray for wisdom for them and guidance for them as they have very important decisions to make. And give them, as they're going through these times of even uncertainty, the peace that passes all understanding. And they'll have that as they abide in you. Encourage their families as well. Lord, we pray for all of our students, those at Grace Christian Academy, as well as those in our homes, those that are homeschooling, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would just be with these ministries. Be with Mr. Rice, Lord, we pray, and each of the teachers and their families, Lord, and just protect them and encourage them, Lord, and lift them up. Keep them strong in the Lord. We pray, Father, for the student body as well, the Christians as well as those students who have yet to be born again. We pray for their salvation. Lord, we pray for any that may be in the service this morning that have never been born again. We pray for their salvation as well, that they'll be saved for Christ's sake, for His glory, before it's eternally too late. Lord, we are thankful for the time again in prayer. We do also pray, Father, for the fields and the washers in Kenya. Be with them, encourage them, and be with all missionaries, Father, that are faithfully serving you this day, and that you would encourage them, Lord. We do think of Jason. We think of him just now and with his neck injury, Lord, that you restore him to health and just be with him, give him wisdom in how to treat this injury, we trust. We pray, Father, for our President, President Obama. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in his heart. You know his need of salvation. And Lord, we know that you can do that in the hearts of kings. You brought King Nebuchadnezzar to his knees, and we believe that he came to know you, that he was born again, that he was saved. And Lord, you can do the same for President Obama, but only as he's willing, only as he's open. We pray the same for his wife, Michelle, and his daughters. Lord, we think of Governor Scott, and we think of Buddy Dyer and Teresa Jacobs, others, Lord. We think of our police officers, and we, Lord, think of our firefighters and just many that give of their lives to protect us. We thank you, Father, for the freedom and the quietness we have and coming to church even this morning, not under the affliction of what many are in other countries, Lord, this day on your day, the Imperial Day. Lord, that may not be here tomorrow, but even if things get tougher, and we believe they will, Lord, we can still experience again that peace that passes all understanding, but only as we abide in Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you for these things. We think of the outreach to the nursing home ministry. Lake Bennett, Lord, be with the wards as they go. Encourage their hearts and encourage the saints there and those that need to be saved. Again, we thank you, Father, for these things. We pray for this service now as it continues, the time of the word, the time in song, and the time in prayer again. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Lord. Thank you, young people, for that ministry. Love, let's take our Bibles and let's turn again in them to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, please. Matthew 13. The seven mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and this present age. Matthew chapter 13. We see in the beginning of this chapter here that Matthew records under inspiration for us that our blessed Savior, as his custom was, oftentimes went to the seashore of Galilee. And he did so to instruct the disciples, in this case the multitudes in the beginning. But this occasion was unique in that he taught the people in parables. At this juncture, he didn't teach anything except by parable. Now, a parable in the Greek is a compound word meaning to compare together, to place alongside or to cast alongside, to throw alongside. And so a parable makes comparison between two things, an earthly illustration used as a comparison to teach a spiritual truth. For instance, in the first parable that he gave us, parable of the sower, Jesus told about a farmer who sowed seed in a field. The emphasis in the lesson is on the various responses of the sowing of that seed, which was the Word of God. And so he was using an earthly illustration to present a spiritual truth. And so the Lord gave through parables these seven mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed truths, beloved, to be learned, understood, obeyed, and followed for those who have ears to hear. But for those who have ears dull of hearing and eyes which see not, as we read in our scripture reading, these same truths would not be comprehended. They would not be understood. Not because they didn't have opportunity, but rather because they did not believe the gospel. They did not believe the truth. The seed either falling by the wayside or falling on stony ground or perhaps falling among thorns, not falling into the good ground. And so the first of these parables was given to the multitude while in the boat. We read that. It's only one of those that he explained, which was the first in that setting. But then we have a break in action. Look again, if you would, at verse 36. Matthew 13 and verse 36. We read, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." That's parable number two. And so we have a break here of the message. We see that he sends the multitude away. He does explain this parable, the second parable, and then he gives three additional parables. But he did that not at the seashore, but in the house. In the house. And now at the end of his discussion, or his instruction, in verse 51, if you want to turn there, he asks this question. Look at it. Matthew 13, verse 51. "Jesus saith unto them, Have you understood," next three words, "all these things?" And they responded in the affirmative. They said, "Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord." And so, beloved, that's the same question we have for you today, this morning. Do you understand these things? He wants you to comprehend them. He wants you to use these truths that are found herein. He wants you to be a faithful steward with that which He has given you in the age in which you live. That's important to rightly divide the Word of God. We have no desire to take things out of context. I don't know how many of you have a Scofield Reference Bible, but on this juncture, before we list some of the specifics in which we're going to discuss in this study, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, I would ask you to turn to the note found in the Matthew chapter 3 reference. Matthew 3, verse 2. Scofield references the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, he's going to distinguish between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And there are important distinctions to be made. Not our purpose this morning to go over those differences. But just so we not confuse this morning, the second point in reference to the kingdom of heaven, this is what Dr. Scofield says. He says, "As fulfilled in the present age, the kingdom of heaven is presented in seven mysteries, revealing the character of the rule of heaven over earth between the first and second comings of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so that, beloved, it involves the age of the church. And so these are for us today. These are lessons, instructions, precious truths for those today in the church. Now, they also have other applications, but beloved, there's no doubt the fact that it is for us today. And so, with that said, this morning we will discuss four blessed truths. I realize we're not going to get through all four of these in one setting, Lord willing, by next week. We will discuss four blessed truths regarding these mysteries and their relationship to the age in which we live. Number one, they are to be genuinely received, beginning with the first of the parables. Number two, they are to be realized with clear comprehension. Point number three, they should cause us to rejoice greatly in His redemption. And point number four, they should cause us to respond to the responsibilities of good stewardship. The first point, they are to be received genuinely. We have the parable of the sower. I trust most here, if not all, are familiar with this parable. Let's look at it again just quickly and just make a couple comments upon it. The Lord explains this parable. He says in verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." And notice what he says. He says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one." Who's the wicked one? Satan, the devil, that's right. "He catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which," what's that word? "Received." He received seed, but he didn't receive it genuinely. He didn't receive it truly. It was a false profession. Perhaps even no profession at all. He received seed, it says, by the wayside. Verse 20, we have the second example. "But he that," again we have the word "received." "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon," the word "anon" means immediately, "with joy receiveth it." It appears at first that this person believes the message, believes the good news, believes the gospel. But notice what the Lord says in verse 21. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He's offended. This was not a true conversion. This was not a genuine receiving of the word. Again, it was another counterfeit. Verse 22, we have a third example. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Again, we have the word received used once again. But it's not in a true sense, in a genuine sense. Notice this example here, the third. He hears the word. But notice we read that the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. If you have not done so in a while, it would be good for you to compare Mark's account in Mark 4 and Luke's account in the Gospel of Luke concerning these the parable of the sower. You will learn and glean even more specific light, and it will be a blessing as you compare Scripture with Scripture. But beloved, simply we see the first three examples where the seed is sown. They fall by the wayside, they fall on stony ground, and they fall among thorns. But the fourth example is where we have our first point. The ones that receive the word immediately and truly, and most importantly, genuinely. Verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And so, beloved, it begins. It begins with the proper receiving of the word of God, the gospel message. I wonder if we have any here this morning that fit into categories 1, 2, and 3 that have never truly been saved, never truly been born again, never truly received eternal life, the gift of eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, how can I receive eternal life? Only one way. Only one way. And that one way is acknowledging the fact before a holy God that you're a lost sinner. And then believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a work of God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's what the Bible says. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Cried out the Philippian jailer. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Only the fourth example Christ gives, one out of four, are true Christians, true believers, the children, true children of the kingdom. On that point, turn, if you would, to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. You see, not only does it begin with genuinely or truly receiving the word, the gospel, it has to start here. Because, my dear friend, none of these other parables that we have hereafter, after the first one, the parable of the sower, will do you any good, will have any true value in your heart and in your life, if you do not first properly receive the first. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Notice, if you would, verse 10. We'll pick it up there. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? What parable is he referring? He's referring to the parable of the sower. He's referring to the parable of the sower. He says, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? And again, after this, he begins to expound and explain the parable of the sower. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. The seed is the word of God. And he gives the four different grounds in which the word is received. It's only into the good ground where there's life, where there's fruit. Back to Matthew 13, please. So it's vital. This is the beginning of the parables. This is the first fruits, as it were. You must properly receive in genuine faith, believe in the gospel message. Because that's how Christ makes you a new creature in Christ. This is the beginning. This is the ones who truly believe. Our second point is that we are also to realize these truths, these parables, with clear comprehension. We're in Matthew 13. Let's jump ahead to verse 51, kind of near the end of his discourse here. And it's revealing as to what the Lord says. Matthew 13, verse number 51. Jesus saith unto them, have you, next word, understood all these things? Okay, hold your place here. If you have to turn back, you may not need to, depending on the outline of your Bible. But look earlier in the chapter, Matthew 13, and we'll reread verse 11, at least the first part of verse 11. Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, unto the disciples, because it is given unto you, next two words, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To know there is gnosko, to know, to understand, to perceive. Now, verse 51, Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? This is not the word gnosko. This is a different Greek word. This is the word that means comprehend. Literally, it means to piece together. That's what the word means. To piece together. Have you pieced together all these things? Like you do a puzzle. Christ is asking them, have you understood these things? Have you truly comprehended these things? And so, beloved, not only are we to truly, genuinely receive the word, that's where it begins. But as it relates to all these parables, we're to receive them, but we're to properly comprehend them. We're to properly piece them together. It's vital. There's a reason the Lord Jesus gives these parables at the time in His ministry in which He gave them. And it was for many reasons. But for one, it was for His children. It was for His believers. It was for His disciples to use and to apply. And as He says in verse 51, to comprehend, to piece together. What a blessing. The Lord starts us at the beginning, our salvation, the new life, the new creation. Salvation from sin, the penalty of sin, from sin. The deliverance from the power of sin. One day the promise that we'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. Tremendous joy indeed. But it's a salvation, not only a deliverance from sin, but it's a salvation that is to bear fruit and to bring forth much fruit. A life unto fruitfulness. Again, we read that in the first parable. Bearing fruit, bringing forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He enlightens us with His truth, beloved. He teaches us. He enables us to grow in Him. The Apostle John, in his first epistle, said it this way. Listen to these words in the second chapter of that epistle. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie, catch this, no lie is out of the truth, is of the truth. And so verse 51, the Lord Jesus says, have you understood these things? Have you comprehended these? Have you put these things together? Have you realized them? Have you realized them properly? Look again at verse 51. Matthew 13, 51. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood? Next three words. Yes, that's the second time you've given that to me this morning. All these things. You know, it's interesting as we go back in the sequence of how He gave the parables. He first, of course, gave the parable of the sower. What were the next three parables? Were they not simply, beloved, warnings and preparation and safeguarding from three common counterfeits? Three common counterfeits? Yeah, the parable of the sowers. What's next? The wheat and the tares. What's after that? The parable of the mustard seed. And what's after that? The parable of leaven. Three common counterfeits. The Lord Jesus is breaking it down. That in the age in which you live, disciples, children of the kingdom, it's important to understand at this juncture that when we refer to the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven encompasses all of those who make a profession of faith. Those who are genuinely saved, as well as those who are not true believers at all. But they make a profession of faith. They're lumped together in the kingdom of heaven in that regard. The kingdom of God contains only those who are truly born again. And so, again, not our purpose to go through the distinctions this morning, but that's vital to understand. And that's what we see here in Matthew 13. We see it on several occasions. So let's look at that next parable, the second one, Matthew 13, in regard to the second point. These parables are to be realized with clear comprehension. Realized with clear comprehension. And so Christ gives us things that will guard us and protect us from these three common counterfeits. The first, you've told me already, the parable of the tares among the wheat. He begins this discourse in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also." And so verse 27, "The servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?" He said unto them, by the way, it's interesting to point out with these tares resemble the wheat. They resemble the wheat almost at every level. They look very similar. But it's when the head springs up that it's clearly seen that it's not wheat, but rather it's a weed. It's tares. The head gives it its distinction. The Lord has a purpose for using the earthly illustrations in these parables, again, to clearly teach the spiritual truth. Moving on, verse 28, "He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto them, Will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together." He's not talking about ecumenism there. He's talking about there's a time of the harvest to come to its fruition. There's time of testing. There's time of long-suffering. God is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No, we are not to be unequally yoked, believers with unbelievers. This is not a teaching that contradicts other portions of Scripture. This is a simple fact that in the age in which we live, beloved, there are both believers, genuine, saved people, and those who make a false profession. We heard it this morning in the opening exercises. Those who make a false profession, who have never been born again, who claim to be Christians, who claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus, who claim to love the kingdom of God and are even serving, they say, the kingdom of God, even trying to bring the kingdom of God in, and that's not possible. There's only one who can bring in the kingdom of God. And who is that one? Jesus Christ. And He will. He'll bring it in just as He said He would. Now, rightly divide the Word of God. It's vital. It's important. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. No, the Lord says in verse 30, "Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn." Now, He's explained at this juncture, has He not, to the multitudes as well as to the disciples, the first parable, the parable of the sower. He goes on and gives the next two parables 3 and 4, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable 11, without explaining the second parable. It's at this juncture that there's a break in the message. He's in the boat. He's along the Galilean seashore. He gets out of the boat. He leaves the boat. He sends the multitude back to their ways. And then He goes into the house, that very house He came from when He began this message. His disciples follow Him. His disciples then ask Him in verse number 36, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." Help us understand. Have you ever asked the question, why did they not ask the Lord to describe and to explain the parable of the mustard seed? Why did they not ask Him to explain and expound to them the parable of the leaven? He gave them an opportunity to do so at the end. Understand all these things? Understand you all these things? And they say, "Yea, Lord." You see, beloved, because with that explanation of the second parable, there's a great foundation along with the first parable of the sower. There's a great foundation then for us to exposit properly those again to whom He saved and has put His Spirit in, His heart in, given us a new heart. It's not through our own understanding, but through His, to then give us direction and discernment to then rightly, as we study to show ourselves approved, rightly understand and discern these things. And so He says in verse number 37, in essence, He says, okay, I will explain the parable of the tares among the wheat. And so He does. Look at verse 37 again. Again, our second point. These parables, all of them, are to be realized with comprehension. Not to be in darkness. They're mysteries that have been revealed. But only, beloved, only to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. And those are simply our terms depicting that heart that God has given those to whom He saved. It's not our greatness. It's not our intellect. It's through Him and Him alone. Verse 37, He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. The field, here in this parable, is the world. The good seed is not the Word of God like it was in the parable of the sower. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, believers. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The children of Satan. Two families, two spiritual families. The enemy, verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is who? The devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do. The word is iniquity, it means lawlessness. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Beloved, hell is no joke. Now, Christians, you know that. Those of you that have not been accepted in the beloved, those of you that have not been born again, hell is no joke. It's a literal place of torment. It's not just separation from God, and it is not annihilation. No. It is an eternity of suffering the flames and the pains of hell. Hell one day will be cast into the lake of fire. And it's real. It's real. It's not just some analogy. It's a real place. It's a place that God created not for man, but for Satan and his fallen angels. But every person, every human being who rejects light, who does not die having been born again, will go there. Because they've rejected God's free gift of salvation. They've rejected the Son of God. And so we have this parable. Again, comprehend it, understand it. And so in this parable, we have the first of these three common counterfeits. And what is that? What is it? It's false believers, right? False believers, sure. False professions. And so that's what Satan is doing. He's planting his his counterfeits. If you would, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Actually, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is going to detail for us many of his sufferings. And in doing so, he's trying to help the Corinthians to say, listen, he's not bragging. He's simply saying, as he's faithfully defending the ministry, he says, I have suffered. I've suffered much for the glory of Christ. The counterfeit, those false teachers are not doing the same. He tells them in verse number 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? He says, I speak as a fool. He knew they were not ministers of Christ. He says, I more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Verse 24, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. Verse 26, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, Jews, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, or in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among, next 2 words, false brethren. And that's exactly what we have, beloved, before us in Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the tares among the wheat. You must understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is making it very clear that there are these two spiritual families, and the believers, the children of the kingdom, are to comprehend these things. What is the second? We're probably going to have to save it. Let's just mention them, and then we'll come back next week and continue. Let's go, though, back to Matthew 13. Please, Matthew 13. If the thing in which Christ is teaching us and warning us in the second of the parables is that there'll be false believers making false professions, then what is it that he's telling us in the third parable? The parable of the mustard seed. Let's read it. It's only 2 verses, verse 31 and 32. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. What is it that we have here before us? We have false growth. False growth. False growth. You see, the gospel message, the true gospel, brings growth. It brings fruit. It brings a greatness indeed. But there is a false growth. Satan always has his counterfeit. Satan has his false church. The true gospel, as it goes forth, as it spreads from true believers, there is genuine growth. Souls being saved. Members immersed into the body of Christ. Many members, one body. But the parable of the mustard seed suggests the rapid and unsubstantial level of growth. Scofield points it out. We'll save those comments until next week. We have the analogy of the birds and what the Bible has to say concerning these birds and the tree and such. But beloved, simply put, Satan has his counterfeit. Is Satan building a church today? He is. It's the false church. And does it have many members? It has more members than the true church. And it will continue to grow. Satan's church will continue to grow. And that's what you have before you here with this parable. And the third of the warnings on the next parable, the 11, we'll see, as with the parable of the tares among the wheat, you have false professions. And then the next one, the mustard seed, you have false growth. Here, with leaven, you have false doctrine. You have false doctrine. Look at verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And so what is this end age coming to? Total apostasy. The church will go up. When the church goes up, what church will remain on the earth? The apostate church, the false church. And keep in mind, beloved, it will be in its full and final form. It will have all of its members. It will have all the people it needs at that time for Satan to continue to do his evil work. Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Again, if you have Scofield's reference Bible, I do greatly appreciate his notes on these points. He gives further light. But we'll talk about more of these things next week. Beloved, don't lose sight of the purpose. Don't lose sight of what the Lord has said. Christ has made very clear that he wants us to properly comprehend these things. And it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. These seven mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are to be understood. They're to be obeyed. They're to be utilized and applied in our hearts and in our lives for our well-being today. They serve, obviously, as you know, a great purpose. And I trust we'll learn them even more for His honor, for His glory, so that we can be more faithful to Him as He makes us more like Himself. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for the time in Your Word this morning. We pray for the study as we continue, that You give wisdom, that You give light, Lord. And we'll thank You in advance for what You have done and what You'll continue to do, Lord. We do continue to pray for any that may be here this morning outside of Christ, that they'll be saved before it's eternally too late. We pray, Father, that You'll continue to conform us to the image of Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we ask it. Amen.